This is the Covenant Eyes Podcast.
You take away my mobile phone, you'll take away a part of me.
Today on the Covenant Eyes Podcast, we will be continuing our interview with the Chief Technology Officer for the state of Michigan, Dan Lohrmann. Dan started his career in the National Security Agency and later worked for Lockheed Martin in England. Eventually, he became the first Chief Information Security Officer for the state of Michigan. He has been called an IT visionary by Security Magazine, was named the Chief Security Officer of the Year by SC Magazine, and was named one of Government Magazine's Public Officials of the Year. Dan is also the author of the new book, Virtual Integrity, a book about bringing real-world values back to surfing the web and avoiding internet temptations. In our last podcast, Dan spoke about the first three habits of virtual integrity. Today, he will discuss four more habits for online life on the Covenant Eyes Podcast.
Now the step four, the fourth habit, is around applying helpful technology. And now only at step four. And so many people start with step, four. They want to go straight to the technology. Give me a quick fix solution. But now you can say, this is what I want to do. Now I need the tools to help me effectively implement this.
Sure.
So one of the ways you could do that is with a great tool like Covenant Eyes, and I use that tool at our house. But there are other, you can have antivirus. There's we talked about identity theft. There's tools you have to put in place from your technology companies, whatever technology you have, to make sure that you're, not getting attacked from a security or privacy perspective, changing passwords, just a variety of technical steps that we need to take, backing up your computer, different things you need to be doing with your home PC and your home networks and your work situation as well, that all of us should be doing on a regular basis. In the book, I describe in detail how to apply helpful technology.
I think that's so crucial for our listeners to see, is how to start with those first three steps and then bring in this area of helpful technology. I know we deal with this issue all the time at Covenant Eyes, because we have a lot of people who use our accountability software. And they understand the process. They understand that they're going to surf the internet, and that a report's going to be sent to a friend of theirs or to a mentor or their wife or somebody about where they've gone online. But because they haven't committed themselves to the process of accountability, they may not have they may not really want the accountability per se. They don't want to have that regular conversation with someone about where they went online. And in the end, the software doesn't do for them really what they wanted to do. They wanted to see it happen.
I would agree. And it's not – I think you guys are as good as any that I've seen out there, and probably I would even go as far as to saying, from an accountability perspective, the best on the market. But, it's not just about technology. It really is about people, process, and technology, and the relationships and the hard issues. Habit five goes into the, what I call balancing online and offline life. And I give a lot of tips on how to do this. But, there are appropriate uses for technology, and there's inappropriate uses. And, there's so many practical – I'll give you one little story that your listeners might like. But there's so many examples I can give of this. There's times we just need to turn it off. I worked in an office in England, and managed a small group of around, well, it was about 12 people at the time, and literally I got an email one day, and it was literally two people who sit in cubes right next to each other were sending emails back and forth, and they were pretty nasty emails. It started out as a good conversation, but this email got kind of more and more angry, and some bad words were used, and it got heated. It got to about the fifth response back and forth, and they CC'd me. Oh yeah, I'm going to CC the boss, and these were like 3-page emails each. They were like these long as. So I literally see this. I was just stunned. I jump up from my desk. I run down the hall, and I noticed this one person was about to send another 3-page email, and I'm like, stop, hands off the keyboard. Stand up and talk to each other. It's everybody in my office, let's talk,
And
that's not really an appropriate use for technology, right? I mean, technology, you know, these three-page emails back and forth when you're sitting in the cubes next to each other. I think people do that. We see that with text messaging with young people. And those are wonderful tools, and I highly encourage using them. But I think people misuse technology, and they use it in ways it was never really intended for.
Right.
And so we need to balance our online and offline life and know what to do, how to appropriately use it. We call it net etiquette, you know, etiquette, you know, what you should do. Mm-hmm. At work, it can be simple things like not, you know, reading your BlackBerry and your, you know, while you're literally the meeting's going on because people think that's rude, or in a restaurant, or
right.
you know, those kinds of practical things. But also just literally taking time with your family, just going back to the good old fashioned, you know, take a walk as a family and turn off the computer and that kind of a thing. So we have practical tips on that.
Great.
Habit six, practice humble authenticity. I think there's two things I just say real quickly about habit six, and that is, you know, we got to be humble. I mean, we're all tempted. No one's perfect. I make mistakes. You know, as I say these things, I can think of times where I failed. But, you know, if you're open and you're humble and you're honest and you're authentic, you'll work through issues. There's always forgiveness for those. If you made mistakes in the past, all of us have. You know, the honesty is always the best approach. And be humble. You know, it's David versus Goliath. I mean, I tell people, you know, billions of dollars are spent to tempt you in cyberspace.
Yeah.
Billions and billions of dollars. These people are very, very good at what they do. They know how to tempt the click. If you didn't click today, tomorrow it's going to be a little bit different, and they're going to tempt you tomorrow, and they're going to keep coming back at you. And your eyes are drawn where they want to draw your eyes. They're trying, you know, they're paying for the internet with these advertisements. Some of it's good, a lot of it's bad, and they're going to do what they can to get you. So you got to know you're going into a battle. It's like David going up against Goliath, and you got to be humble about that,
yeah.
and go in knowing what the risks are, and then authentic. It's there, back to what we were talking about earlier, Luke, and that is, you know, anonymity, sometimes there's a right role for anonymity. I'm not always against anonymity, especially if you're playing games or something, or, you know, I tell people, think of the real world. You know, when in the real world is anonymity, we go to costume parties and we dress up as Bible characters or something, and everybody knows, hey, that's the rules, Dan's diff, you know, dressing up as, you know, somebody. That's one thing. But if you're using anonymity to pretend to be somebody you're not and it's for evil, that's a totally different thing.
Mm.
So you really got to think about authentic behavior online and how and when to use anonymity appropriately, if at all.
Right.
And a lot of times anonymity is used for bad purposes. So
yeah.
people need to really be authentic and they need to be humble.
Right, right.
And I give tips on how to do that.
Great. And what was the last one?
The last one is what I call becoming a cyber ambassador for good. And so what this really entails is, you know, I'm a big football sports fan, but I tell people, you know, if you're on offense, for the most part, the best defense is a good offense. If the offense is on the field, for the most part, the other team's not going to score unless you throw an interception or something. But, I mean, for the most part, you know, if we're moving the ball down the field and doing good, if we're online and we're being a cyber ambassador for good, and there's so many ways to do that, Luke, you know, whether it's a blog, whether it's, you know, Christian websites, there's wonderful sites out there. There are so many ways you can interact for good. And if you're interacting for good, then you're not getting involved in the bad. And so it's not just a matter of, you know, defending yourself and, you know, kind of always kind of protecting myself and, you know, I do the best I can. And, you know, if you're out there actually fighting for good.
Our software is used by a lot of different people, not just the people who are entrenched in some form of pornography addiction or cyber sex activity. We're talking about people who... they see the danger of that. They've seen what that could do, and they just don't want to ever have to go there. They're on the other side saying, you know, instead of waiting till things get really bad in my life where I have to recover all these things, like recovering my identity, recovering my integrity with the people I love, I want to do something preventative that will keep me on track from the beginning so that I never really have to deal with that. And that's, we have a lot of people who use our accountability software for just that purpose.
It makes a ton of sense, Luke. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've seen it at churches. I've seen it, you know, with people who are committed Christians who they have, you know, just a lot, you know, just it tears apart their marriage, the, you know, trust relationship when the spouse finds out that someone's been visiting porn sites and things. And, you know, just addressing this up front, it's like getting an inoculation. I mean, it's just, it is absolutely really, really helpful. And, you know, it does go back to the heart issues. It does go back to, you know, your personal relationship with those individuals and with God. But these tools are so helpful and they're so beneficial. You know, it's like a treadmill for, you know, for the internet, if you will. You know, the, you know, it's just, it really helps in the process.
That's great. And you use, I know you just said you use Covenant Eyes.
Yes, I do. I subscribe and then, you know, I pay for it and it's well worth the money. So I've been very happy with it. And my wife gets my accountability reports and she reads them every week.
Great.
So, you know, but, you know, it's really, really, really helpful. And we do have good discussions with our kids who use, you know, we have Covenant Eyes on all of our computers at home. And you know, we know where the kids are going, they know where we're going, and we're holding each other accountable.
I think this is great to have this as what you're saying there as a model for how people can effectively use accountability software, filtering software, where it's not just simply we're leaning on the technology, we're more or less leaning on the relationships that we have with these people. You know, you talk to your wife about what you have on your accountability report. You're talking with your kids, and that sort of open, honest dialogue really is the foundation, or like you said in your book, the habits that need to be in place for that technology to mean anything and to have any good effect in our life, any long-lasting effect anyway.
I would agree, and I would even go one step further and say, I mentioned this in the book in the last two chapters, which is, you know, different people, and they even talking to Microsoft and Google and some other companies, is a vision of where we might be 5 years from now. But, you know, I really do think that, you know, we're going to more and more of a model. People think about filters, and you know, Luke, as you've read the book, I have a whole chapter on why filters are no longer enough. It's not that I'm against filters, but they're just not enough. There's so many shades of gray, and that's kind of what I was just hitting at, is that there's so many different shades of gray. And even at work, for example, we're dealing with this in the state of Michigan where you've got, you know, social networking sites, right? So you got Facebook and MySpace and YouTube and Twitter. And you say, well, what's the matter with that? Nothing's the matter with that. But if you're on Facebook all day, there's a problem there, right? You're supposed to be doing your job. There's reasons that these sites can help you do your job, but they can be misused where they can kind of dominate your life. Then you say, look, you know, I'm using these things appropriately. I'm using Facebook, MySpace, YouTube, Twitter, whatever it is, and I'm using it a certain amount of time, and I'm using it a certain, and I'm open about that. I'm transparent about that. I got nothing to fear now. It's not like I'm using it abusively or in a wrong way. I'm using it in a proper way.
Right.
Then if you live in an open, transparent lifestyle, you got nothing to fear. So you can sit down with your accountability partner, explain that. I think we're going to start seeing that more and more at work, believe it or not.
Yeah.
Because what it does is it actually enables you to do more things. It gives you more freedom. It sounds like it's backwards. Your listeners are going to have to think about that a little bit. But it actually enables more freedom and not less.
You've been listening to Dan Lohrmann talk about surfing your values from his book, Virtual Integrity. You can learn more at virtualintegritybook.com. That's virtualintegritybook.com. This is your host, Luke Gilkerson. You've been listening to the Covenant Eyes Podcast.